What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 166. It's December 21st. 2021, 12, 21, 21. It's the winter solstice. And Future Dan, it is the season finale. What's going on, buddy?
It's the end of fall, 2021. That it is. It's all winter from here.
It's all winter from here. I always found it interesting. Today's the shortest day. It's slightly going to be longer every day go forward, but it usually gets darker and a little tougher, especially after the holidays. We will be taking off next week, as per usual, after our quarterly season. We take a week off, retool, get some new master block breaks, get some new ideas for segments. We got a lot of really good plans for 2022, but we're going to hit it hard tonight for sure. We ain't out of here yet.
Yeah, it's the end of the year, and the news has picked up. Lots of news that was sort of absent last week, but again, No closer to any crisis that resembles March of 2020, although Omicron is sweeping the nation.
Well, that's actually something. Someone had texted me, hey, the markets, the volatility is rising so much. There's 600-point crashes and bounces up and down. Is this it? And I'm like, no. This isn't even as close to what it was in March 2020. Let's have some perspective. As you and I both remember, we were on the air talking about it in pretty much real time. The market stopped trading. There were halts to trading. When we start seeing that again, then maybe we can have a barometer. Okay, we're almost there. We're not seeing that. We had a bounce back in the markets today after pretty big losses. We'll get into some of the financial news. But you're right. Even though Omicron is spreading, it doesn't seem like the fear is as big as March 2020. It's not good news, but I think people are like, we can weather the storm. You know, just take your booster shot. We'll get into some of that stuff too. But there is some fear. There is news picking up, but it's not March 2020 levels by any means.
No, it's not. And yeah, I don't know. What's on your mind for the news that's actually original and unique? We're going to cover the headlines because we always do. It's important to document these things. But what's changing on a bigger level that you're seeing?
Well, the last few episodes I've been trying to get away from talking too much about the Fed, too much about economics, because that's my specialty. I'm a little biased. You know, I want to talk a little different. But this week, and really right now, we'll talk about that, because the Fed's come out, stated, hey, we're going to raise interest rates. We're actually going to raise it up to 3 times next year. They're also going to allegedly wind down some of the stimulus bailout emergency measures that started in 2020. And I've had several folks, including a couple listeners of this show, reach out and ask me, is this for real? Does that mean, how can they raise rates? I've said on air that they won't be able to raise rates significantly, and I'm putting a mile marker here. They will not be able to raise rates more than 1% or 100 basis points before they're forced to cut them again and perhaps put massive emergency measures. That's assuming they even get that far. Now, what does this all mean? It just means trillions and trillions of more emergency money and zero, if not negative, interest rates are coming in the next year or two, which will just lead to more and more inflation, that wave of inflation we're talking about. So, allegedly, the Fed is putting on the brakes to the inflation. I'm calling BS. I think at least before the midterms, but definitely within the year, they'll have to reverse course. I don't expect them to get more than a couple, and they're not going to have a significant rate increase from, you know, from 0% to 1%. That's nothing still in the grand scheme of things. So that's where I put that.
Can we break this down to make it real simple, maybe for new listeners or people who have, you know, just over their lives not tuned in as closely on what Federal Reserve does? Let me ask you a question, Ben. Why would in, let's say, pre-2008 days, raising of the central bank's rate stem inflation? Why would that be a mechanic that would supposedly work economically?
Part of it is that the populace, and that includes businesses, but also people, are more likely to save when interest rates are higher. If you can get 5-10% at your bank, you'll save a lot more than if you get 0%. If you get 0% in your savings account, how much are you going to save? Like, not that much, right? And in the aggregate, it makes a huge difference. You know, when you put in millions and millions, if not billions, of people, right? That's one aspect. The second aspect is the international trade. When you raise rates, it attracts that foreign capital. And it changes all the dynamics of foreign trade, and that can, to some degree, you know, this is a lot of factors at play, but to some degree can help stem inflation, especially compared to other countries. But that entire system that's been taught, classical economics, all that, is totally busted now because they're at 0% interest rates. They have been pretty much since 2008. They pretended to come off of it but failed, and I'm calling it again. They're going to fail again. That just means more funny money and closer steps to the destruction of the dollar.
Why would increased savings or a more favorable trade terms slow down the rise in prices? Just what's the basic mechanic of that?
I like to think of inflation as how much money compared to how many goods and services are being produced. And when there's more money being spent but the same amount of goods and services or even less, that means there's too much money. That means prices are going up. Another way to put it, where does savings go? Savings are used for investments and to produce actual factories, actual improvements to infrastructure. You know, again, this is not how it works anymore. Now they just print trillions of dollars. But in real life, savings are used to finance projects and improvements to economics and actual human activity. But when those investments are not made and all that's really being done is stock buybacks and a bunch of manipulation of debt and printing the money, the amount of actual production, the actual goods and services out there, it's not really going up very much. But the amount of money out there is just pouring in. So that's just making everything in it go up in price. If your wages go up a lot, then it's not as big a deal. But, I mean, who out there is getting 10%+ cost of living right now? No one. That means if you're not making 10%, at least getting a 10% raise every year, you are losing the battle against inflation. And that's practically everybody.
Yeah, it's going to become a major theme of 2022. I know it can't be reversed. I know you've talked about just the federal debt alone, you know, the proximity to default or whatever new name they'll give default, but it will be, you know, essentially a default of the U.S. Treasury. You know, it would be imminent if they raised the rates because, of course, the price that the U.S. government pays to borrow money has to go up if all the other rates are going up. So savings with a bank account that has an interest rate that produces a return that you can count on, I'm afraid it's gone in our lifetimes. And it's just a symptom of the fact that things are fundamentally broken and that there's just nothing on the horizon that looks like it'll cure it, short of, you know, just a total calamity.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Future Dan. I'm telling you, you hit it perfectly. The debt is just so large that you can't raise the rates. Let's just take, I pulled up the calculator, $30 trillion. That's how much national debt we have, approximately. And there's a lot more of real debt out there. But let's just take $30 trillion. We have slightly less national debt than that, but trust me, that's a fair number to them. $30 trillion. What's 1% of that? Times 0.01. That's 300 billion extra. Okay? 300 billion extra in interest payments every year if we raise interest rates 1%? That's ridiculous. There's no way the federal government, we can't even pay our bills right now. But if they raise rates by 1, 2, 5% where it should be, kind of in long-term historical averages, then it would be an absolute bankruptcy immediately. And therefore, I think the Treasury's already defaulted. I'm just saying that. I mean, the Treasury's already defaulted, and only a debt reset is going to, quote-unquote, fix this. So the banksters and friends are leading us into a debt reset that they're going to control. They're going to control the crash. That's my other, quote-unquote, prediction. Because it's the only way out is a total debt reset collapse.
Ooh, are we doing predictions for 2022?
Informally, that I've given a couple.
You're on a roll.
I'm feeling it. All right, well, we are going to break. We're going to come back with the News Blitz, futuredanger.com to follow along. But before we go anywhere, make sure to check out PrepperBroadcasting.com. Not too late to do some holiday shopping. I don't know if they'll get the shipment to you by Christmas, but hey, who doesn't like a present, but a little bit, even a little late, right? PrepperBroadcasting.com. But check out some of the other podcasts as well. It's that time to travel. It's a pain to travel. Listen to the podcast while you're traveling. I'm going to be listening to all the shows this week. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
December 21st, 2021. Patriot Power Hour News Blitz. Let's just hit it right away because there's a lot to get to. High level SHTF designated indicator here. How China uses contractors to spread propaganda on Facebook and Twitter. The federal government health officials urge bureaucrats to smear anti-lockdown doctors. Google and Wikipedia try to hide the fact that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. I always thought that was funny. President says getting vaccinated against COVID-19, your patriotic duty. Every single speech he has these days begins and ends with vaccination and pushing for booster. And we might even have to see if we can't play this one. But White House tells unvaxxed Americans, prepare to die. It's going to be a very dark winter for the unvaxxed. Moving on, Pentagon to punish troops for liking social media containing unapproved ideologies. Chief medical advisor to the president demands cable news host be fired. DC school makes third graders act out the Holocaust. COVID camps for unvaccinated proposed in New York state legislation. Federal cash debit cards handed out to illegal immigrants who are repeatedly crossing the border. Again, each of these headlines has the corresponding article. Go read this all for yourself. Do your own research. Border Patrol stops suspected terrorists from Saudi Arabia in Arizona. That border, very long, very porous. Mob beats man unconscious, batters him with a chair on a New York City sidewalk. These are relatively low level, but just show kind of the shaking of the underpinnings of society. Just kind of slowly falling apart here. Russian president threatens military response to counter NATO expansion toward Russia's borders. Satellites reveal Chinese electronic warfare dead zone across South China Sea. I'm going to go look into this article on the other side of the break. One of many will kind of data mine in the second half. Food prices soar. American multinational food manufacturer says prices climbing next year. I've said this before, we've already seen 6, 8, 10% inflation year over year. If it just maintains that level, it'll be difficult. But if it goes up another 5 or 10% compounding, that's the real threat of inflation. That compounding effect, well, they're looking into that next year and beyond, continuing to grow. In fact, your little critters, they're having a shortage in inflation as well. Pet food shortage is real, per the Wall Street Journal. States that owe part of $39.5 billion in unemployment debt seek federal interest waiver. CME, a coronal mass ejection, produced by a solar flare, is expected to arrive at Earth as a glancing blow on December 23rd, when I think of my worst case prep, it usually is an EMP / CME prep. Power outage 3+ months. Don't think this one's going to lead to that, but hey, we got enough man-made problems, but there's those naturals as well. Watch out for those solar flares. Let's go on to the final column. Lots of COVID news. A ton. We haven't seen really this much in terms of volume, at least, for a while. Let's get into it. Columbia University finds Omicron vaccine resistance. The CDC has warned against the Johnson & Johnson shot over blood clot risk. I remember just a few months ago, I believe it was Sweden and several other countries said the same. Finally, CDC is warning against it. Moderna vaccine proven to cause inflammation of the heart, and it's admitted, but it is an acceptable risk now. Of course, there were no side effects 2-3 months ago, but now there are, but still take it. This is what you're ordered. Omicron variant overwhelms most vaccinated states. CDC, getting back to the heart inflammation, CDC monitoring 8 cases of heart inflammation in 5 to 11-year-olds who got the Pfizer vaccine. Highly vaccinated South Korea sees surge in breakthrough cases. You know, breakthrough, it sounds like maybe 1 out of 1,000, right? Nope, seems like 1 out of 2. South Korea, I've been to South Korea, and one of my good friends, Korean, they step in line. They're highly percentage vaccinated, but they're seeing a huge amount of Omicron breakthrough cases. 3 vaccine doses, this is the booster inclusive, not enough to withstand Omicron, the CEO of one of these biotech companies says. The CEO. 16,000 physicians signed declarations stating COVID vaccines are irreversible and permanently damaging to children. That's 16,000 physicians. That's a lot, man. COVID outbreak hits world's largest cruise ship full of vaccinated passengers. Got to have the vax pass to get on the cruise ship. But doesn't matter. Wow, sweeping through the lands. Let's keep moving. Navy and Army each prepare to axe 2% of their active forces for refusing to get the COVID vaccine. Somewhat surprised, only 2% are resisting. That's still a large percentage. You know, a large number, raw number of people, but not a large percentage, actually, is how I would put it. Boston bans unvaccinated from bars and other entertainment venues. Chicago to force vaccination to patronize restaurants and bars as well. Chicago mayor announces citywide vaccine passport. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 pandemic drives American population growth to record low. Record low American population growth. Omicron sweeps across the nation. Now 73% of new American COVID cases. So there are still, you know, traditional, I guess perhaps Delta variant or before or prior variant cases. But that's less than or about 1/4 of cases. 3/4 of cases is Omicron variant, which just was, quote, came out a few months or a few weeks ago. Has spread quite quickly. COVID found to damage immune system and increase cancer risks. And that's enough COVID news. I'm sure we'll talk more about it, but all the headlines, a couple low level but still intriguing and worth following pieces of natural news. 6.2 magnitude earthquake hits off Northern California coast. A deadly super typhoon, equivalent to a major hurricane, hits the Philippines. And in Tonga, a major eruption of a volcano, which I will not pretend to attempt to announce or pronounce. But Future Dan, that's the news blitz today. What do you think? Where do you want to go? I mean, there's so much. Actually, we only got a couple minutes till break, but give me a couple thoughts.
I don't think the vaccines work. I don't think you can make a vaccine for a respiratory disease because it evolves too fast. I think the current variant is not much different from just the rest of the people who thus far have managed to avoid getting COVID, you know, picking it up as the next winter approaches. This is a remarkably successful vaccine from a lot of political standpoints, I'll tell you that.
Well, one privilege and maybe curse, but I'm going to call it mostly a privilege, of doing this show every week and having to follow all this horrible news week after week is I really do, and I'm sure you do as well, and the listeners get to watch these evolve step by step, week after week, month after month. We have been talking about variants and the vaccines and how they won't be working for months, if not more than a year. We will go and data mine and get some of these clips sometime. Damn it, I'm going to do it. But I swear, we go back months and we were talking about this. And it's because it's very obvious. Years and years ago, when I was just in basic biology and chemistry at Purdue University in pre-pharmacy program, I learned that about vaccines, and I learned there was not one for the common cold because there were so many variants and they changed all the time. And that's what a coronavirus is the cold. You can't make a vaccine, even this mRNA, which is a different technology than the traditional vaccines. Okay, it's new and allegedly more effective. But even that, this is not really that effective. Maybe, you know, they try to say it blunts some of the bad effects and this and that and the other thing. But they have to admit right now that it does not prevent you from getting it nor spreading it. So I think the vaccines are not working that well there, sir.
Yeah, well, they needed a placebo. There's reports that Trump's getting booed at public events when he mentions, you know, boosters. So we got Trump, who probably will run in the next election, with, you know, just diametrically opposed with a lot of his base about vaccines. It's amazing how many dimensions there are.
Yeah.
To COVID vaccination. I was listening to the CDC director tonight on Fox News in the 6 o'clock hour, basically just denying the existence of natural immunity. Using that, they're coming up with new terms that we're going to hear more of. If you get ahead of this and actually listen to these people for what they say, you know, cross protection. They're talking about this term cross protection between variants, right? So it's a way to sell the vaccines. You need another booster because it's not cross-protective, and how natural immunity is, you know, supposedly not cross-protective between variants. And you know what? I've said it on the show. I had COVID. I'm gonna find out myself if it's not cross-protective, because there's no way I'm taking that experiment.
Some crazy stuff. All right, folks, we got a lot more news to get into, some more analysis on the season finale. Again, PrepperBroadcasting.com. Go search Prepper Broadcasting Network wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe. We'll be right back on the Patriot Power Hour.
Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour is back. December 21st, winter solstice. Perfect timing to end our season. We will be out next week. The 28th will not be live. But that following week, the first week of January, we will be back. But as always, the caveat, if stuff hits the fan, we may be doing some special broadcast feature, Dan.
Yeah, we're ready. We're always ready for that.
We got several ways to broadcast. I have even extra power here at the homestead. Okay, I don't really have a homestead, but a new studio here. And I got a couple backup systems. So unless there is an EMP, then I'll be definitely off the air. But almost anything else, I'll still be able to broadcast for a limited time. So, yeah, we'll be here as long as we can to give you that situational awareness to help you with your preparedness plans. So, future Dan, speaking of 2022, not that we're going to get into like our top 10 list of predictions or anything like that, but I do want to look at some of the indicators on futuredanger.com that we just reviewed the headlines for on the News Blitz, and I guess a little bit of a game. You know, do we think that these indicators will be higher or fully actualize that SHTF level at the end of the year, or perhaps they will cool off, or maybe it's just a flash in the pan, not a big deal. You want to play a little game like that?
Yeah. Well, analysis. I'm not sure it's not a very fun game, but we do this on this show. We're looking at the dangers. We're looking at, you know, trying to forecast what's could possibly be ahead of us. And to the extent that that makes you think twice about how you're prepared, so it can help you. I would say every one of these indicators on the heat map tonight, the active ones, right, the ones with news, are going to go higher and lower in 2022. Some will deactivate and go to the, you know, grade zero. And it's basically a 6-point scale, Ben. We got zero, nothing, no news. No evidence that that danger is upon us, up to, you know, grade one, black on red, SHFT. It's happening. It's recognized wisely. It's happening, right? And then everything in between is just kind of gradations up to that to show you, you know, the relative temperature of the news and how things are developing towards a crisis or multi-crisis environment, right? So we are going to restrict this little, you know, year-end, you know, summary kind of forward-looking prognostication type segment of Patriot Power Hour just to the active indicators tonight, because we can go down. There's plenty that were active last week. They'll be active next week. They come, they go. But it's the question before us is, what do you think the potential is? What probability on, you know, out of 100% to 0%, what probability we will see one of these given indicators go to fully actualized grade one, beyond dispute, that bad news is fully happening?
I'm ready for this. I want to start with this one. And actually, while you were speaking, I forgot about the most useful part of future danger. It's going back in time. While we're looking at the 2022, what we're expecting of this, I'm also going to talk about some of the big articles we saw in 2021 related to this. And this is the perfect one to start with. War with China starts. That's the name of the indicator. throughout 2021, we've seen, by what I'm looking here, 30, maybe 40 articles related to war with China starts, but they were all low. You know, a 1 out of 6 on your significance or actualization scale. So we've seen many, many pieces of information setting the battlefield, so to speak, but we have not even seen one article higher than the low level. So in 2021 or in 2022, will that change, or will these start to heat up, or will it be a nothing burger? What are you thinking?
Well, the only war indicators that ever go above grade one green involve potential for war with Israel and Iran breaking out, which isn't an active indicator tonight, but it'll hit yellow occasionally when they trade actual blows, namely Israel striking Syria, right, and hitting the, you know, the Iranian National Guard troops that are, or Revolutionary Guard troops, I should say. We've never had, in the history of future danger, war with China breaking out with any kind of, you know, kinetic exchanges. I guess the closest you get in the last two decades, which would precede, you know, the heat map, would be the time they downed or forced the landing of one of our surveillance planes under George W. Bush, right at the beginning of his term, if you recall. They force landed, I believe, a U.S. Navy, you know, reconnaissance radar plane. You know, something like that has to happen before it goes above green. All the other green indicator news is just, you know, everything that precedes a potential conflict. Probability of that happening next year, still low. You know, less than 25%, probably less than 10% tonight. However, I think that's much higher than normal, because if China sensed weakness in the ability to maintain control of the government in Washington, and, you know, an election would overturn, you know, their friendly White House, then they might seize an opportunity to say, now's the time, we'll take Taiwan, right? Does that lead to war with the United States? They might calculate that it does not. That anything on Hunter's laptop and everything in between means that we'd have a White House that would just stand by and let it happen. So, elevated chance that war between Taiwan and China happens in the next year before the midterms, and within the next 3 years before the you know, the next presidential election. Still relatively low, I think. You know, on a clandestine level, we have overmatch of the Chinese military in a lot of areas that simply aren't being spoken about. But it does raise this question, Ben. What do you – here's a question for you. And I want to know your, you know, if you agree with my probability on war with China starting there, my analysis. But what do you fear more, war with China or losing a war with China?
Losing a war with China, right? I mean, that would be. It depends what the war is as well.
If it happens,
yeah.
If it starts and if it happens, trust. If you only trust one thing, trust this: that losing it, it would be way worse in every possible way than simply avoiding it. And the attitude of the elites, and basically, I think the elite, you know, the leadership in the Pentagon, after watching you know, the last couple of years and what that Pentagon has become, the potential to appease China and back down if they attempted to take Taiwan is a real possibility, and that would constitute losing a war with China.
Great analysis. Great analysis. Let's look at Russia now. Similarly, only low level articles, I would say. About one third to one half as many as the war with China. Do you see things heating up with Russia in the next year? What's the percentage you kind of coming up with here? And, you know, Russia, of course, the number one threat through the Cold War, but seems, at least from the volume of news, to take a backseat with China at this point.
Yeah, I think so. It's probably whatever the threat level, whatever the probability of, you know, we seeing a war with China next year. The war with Russia is a quarter of that, if not less.
Okay. Still elevated compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
No. Well, it might take parts of Ukraine. They might continue to do that. But they, of course, took Crimea under Obama and paid you know, no price for it. And I'm not sure we can stop that. It's not like it's Taiwan with the water and the Navy and the Air Forces really having a play. If Russia chose to start invading its neighbors, it would be really, really bad, but really impossible to stop.
Absolutely. Really is. All right. No break tonight. No final break tonight because it is the season finale. We got so much to keep cranking out. About 15 minutes to go. Let's hit a whole different column for this indicator. Heck, we've been probably the story of 2021, in my opinion. Maybe 2020 was COVID itself. 2021's the vaccine. Vaccinations forced. Do you think this will escalate even further in 2022, or do you think we've hit the peak of forced vaccination and vaccination passports?
Yeah, so measuring this is hard. Like, forced for who? How do you get to, you know, fully happening, right? I mean, and I'm not talking about just a declaration by, you know, authorities, but actually forcing people to get them. Coercing them because of jobs, because of travel, because, you know, things that you can take away. How extreme can it get? You know, if you get it down to, like, reports we're seeing in some places in Europe and Australia, you know, you can't shop, you can't buy food, you can't, achieve medical care. That kind of coercion is, you know, getting pretty close to the equivalent of forcing people to be vaxxed, but still it would only be red, right? I mean, if you're growing your own food and you're, you know, providing your own medical care, you're still not forced. Forced means force. Like, they're coming for you, right? So I think the probability of that is, it's not nothing, but it's low. It's, you know, less than 10% that we see that get fully black.
Okay.
But there'll be a lot of intermediary steps that are very painful, very un-American in 2022. That much you can be sure of.
Crank up the heat and death by 1,000 cuts, but not literally putting a gun to your head, dragging you to a FEMA camp, being force injected. Don't necessarily see that coming up, but almost everything up to that point. That's how I feel, at least. All right. Great analysis. Let's see. We've talked about inflation a ton, and we both know where we think that's going. It's going up and up. I guess, do you...
What's the definition of skyrocketing? Like, what is black on red? I'd like your help with that. First of all, like, how bad would it get before you would grade the news, you know, fully actualized? It has skyrocketed. It has skyrocketed in historic terms, not just for the United States, but, you know, relative to other countries that where inflation just went, you know, through the roof. How high would it have to get before you think it even earned SHFT grade on future to Danger Ben? And then I guess what do you think the chances are?
I feel like 10% annualized, right? So 10% over year is SHTF. And as long as it's above that level, I consider that SHTF because it's absolutely unsustainable and it's just a vice being squeezed. And especially those in the lower and lower middle class are being squeezed to death, literally on the margins, crushing them. So 10% is SHTF, and if it's only for a month or two, and then it drops off, it could maybe be sustained. But if you just see that month after month after month, then it's one of the most insidious ways to crush you. So I personally think 10% is enough for SHTF. Anything higher than that is literal destruction of the entire economy, which also can coincide. Let's not pretend it would not.
So what's the chances of 3 months in a row of 10% year over year consumer price index inflation? I think we had one of those months this year, but we haven't had three of them in a row.
Correct. And now, as I always say, do you trust the official numbers or not? But let's just use the official numbers.
Use the official numbers.
Yeah, let's use them.
We got baselined on them. Yeah.
So using them, that we will see, let's just say, three consecutive months or even two out of three quarters or 10% on an annualized basis. On the official numbers, I'd say there's a solid 20 to 25% we see that in the official numbers. And in real life, I think it's darn near 75, 80%. We're experiencing it now, and I see almost no way for it to not continue. But based off the official numbers, I think there's at least a 1 out of 4 chance you'll see double-digit inflation throughout most, if not all, of 2022, even in the official numbers.
25% chance we'll see 3 months at 10% year over year. I think that's higher. I'll take the over on that. I think it's a 75% chance you'll see that in this, you know, the winter of 2022, spring of 2022.
In official
statistics.
Yeah, in my explanation, I kind of went beyond just 3 months. I thought like three quarters, so most of the year, I thought. Because you could have like 1 month of 10%.
Months.
Yeah. It's really the annualized as well. Remember, it's always annualized because if prices go up 1% in a month, that's, you know, more than 1% for the year. You know, it adds up and it compounds, so it's not exactly 12%. But if you get 1% every month for 12 months, you know, that's more than 12% inflation. So, looking at the annualized, I expect, you know, that three quarters of the year will be double-digit inflation. Official numbers, about 25%. I think that they will do anything possible not to show those numbers. So we'll see how far they can get away with the manipulation, though.
Yeah, okay. What else you got?
Here's one that, knock on wood, we have not seen. Islamic terrorists strike at home. That threat that's been, luckily, again, if you ask me, after 9/11, I expected we'd be hit almost yearly by Islamic terrorists. We have not, but with that loose border and with all these other chaos going on, what are your chances we see a Islamic terrorist attack on American soil that, you know, kills more than 5 people?
More than 5 in the next year, probably 75, 80% chance. It's also 100% chance that initially all the news will be ambiguous about whether it was actually an Islamic attack, right? You know, it'll be attributed
very
to all kinds of other things, especially if it's, you know, quote unquote, homegrown terror, American born Muslim, you know, just rampages. You know, it won't be considered jihad. There'll be experts on CNN saying it wasn't jihad. Now, you know, a full-blown, you know, September 11th al-Qaeda attack, I think that's low. I think anything like that is not ready to be used by our system to its benefit. So, you know, if it did happen, it would give credence to those who still try to maintain that, you know, those kind of forces aren't, you know, puppets of other regimes, you know, if it happened. But, you know, I think the chances of a spontaneous jihad attack in this country is pretty low. You know, if they can surveil vaccination status, you know, they can surveil who's coming in. And it's been pretty interesting to me since September 11th how it, you know, nothing close has happened. You know, rumors of what happened in Las Vegas notwithstanding.
Right, the MGM Grand incident that's been so hush-hush since some very interesting news came out on that. All right, here's an indicator we see very rarely, And today it has just one headline, and it's low level. The headline is COVID camps for unvaccinated proposed, not passed, proposed in New York state legislation. The indicator is coercive forces mobilized. Can you explain what that means? And what's the percentage chance of an SHTF level actualization of that?
Yeah, I guess it's like the, you know, the old definition of pornography. You know it when you see it. So how mobilized the coercive forces need to become to hit that one at the max, I don't know exactly. I guess I'll know it when I see it. But it is kind of a catch-all indicator for news that doesn't neatly fit into other, you know, domestic security-related, you know, categories. What would it mean? Well, it'd be actualized if there were camps, if people were forced to camps, like, for example, in Australia, right? So percentage chance of that, I think in some states like New York, are less than 30% chance, but, you know, another entirely new, you know, they'll have to come up with a new word, except for, you know, that it replaces variant. It would have to be an entirely new virus, right? Some brand new respiratory virus or other virus that swept through. Then, yeah, you could get above that 30% chance. So 30% chance if an unforeseen virus swept through our country. But, you know, right now we have no reason to think that's going to happen.
Great, great. Only time for a couple more. Let's go with, the indicator that had the most today, vaccination effects exposed just in the last couple weeks, and really just since the last episode we did, many articles about not only the ineffectiveness of the vaccine on the Omicron variant, and one would presume future variants as well, but also the risk of blood clots, inflammation, and other issues with these vaccines. In the next year, do you expect vaccination effects exposed to become even more extreme and more of this to come out?
Well, the implication is that, you know, once it's exposed, it's conventionally accepted across our nation, our society, that it's no longer a point of contention. There's, you know, negligible amounts of people that, you know, deny, the effects of vaccinations being exposed. Part of the problem with this is what effects are being exposed. The predominant one right now is that the vaccines are ineffective, but is there a long-term harmful effect from taking the vaccines? And will that be exposed? This one, very, very hard to get up to full SHFT. You know, you'd have to have a White House that was essentially admitting, you know, that vaccines either don't work or are very harmful and have to be, you know, we have to stop taking them. So I think a very, very low chance that in 2022 we'll get there. I think it's a high chance in the long run that society will come to accept that, you know, these vaccines were premature at best and much worse than that at worst.
I think we got time for one more.
You're making me do them all. Why don't you do one?
All right. Grid goes down. I feel like this is one of the most underrated risks because there's so many ways for the grid to go down. We saw just in 2021 half of Texas go dark, it seemed, in the winter, right? We've seen major power outages in California based on wildfires. But we've not even seen a terrorist attack, a cyber attack, a prolonged energy demand from massive heat wave or cold snap across the entire nation.
Or
not
CME,
just
or right?
CME or like we have here.
Yeah.
There's so many ways, and just, you know, war, so many ways that the power could go out, and so many people are so reliant on the power that grid goes down, I feel like, always has at least a 10% chance of being fully actualized at this point. All the research I've done has shown the grid is quite fragile. And
but are you thinking of it individually or collectively? Like, how much of the grid has to go down before the grid goes down? I mean, if it goes out at your house, the grid's down. Mm-hmm. But when the grid's down on Future Danger, when that goes black on red, grade one, fully actualized, it's most of the country, right? I think that the chances are low, but higher than in the past. It's still a minuscule chance. A lot of other things would have to be black on red crisis to get there. With the solar flare notwithstanding, that could happen immediately and then it happens. But there's absolutely no way to predict that, right? But any kind of man-made, attack or damage to the grid where more than half of the United States lost power simultaneously, I think it's still pretty low, but several times more possible than it was 10 years ago.
Perfect. No. That's the nuances. That's why you got to look deeper into this. You can't just make blanket statements. I think it's if you lose power, it's SHTF. But if you're only one of 50 people that lost power on the whole nation, no one cares, right? On the other hand, if the entire nation loses power, even if only for 3 days, that may be the end of civilization, So it kind of has a whole spectrum. There's just so many factors at play. And that's why we do this show, to explore that. Future Dan, we are out of time. We got to make room for Next Generation. It's been a great season. Another great year, 2021, in the books, my man.
I want to wish all our listeners who come and get their news and the analysis that we provide, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And, let's all pray for a happy 2022.
Play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?